Good evening. If you want to go to Lansing or South Haven on business or pleasure, you just hop in your car and drive, or else take a bus. Well, in the early years of the 20th century, before the days of automobiles and buses, you would have made the trip by rail. To reach Lansing, you would have had the choice of two routes. You could have taken the Grand Trunk out of Kalamazoo to the junction with the main line of that railroad at Pavilion, which would have taken you then to the state capital. Or you could have boarded a train on the CKNS, more properly the Chicago, Kalamazoo, and Saginaw, traveling through a beautiful country by way of Delton, Cloverdale, and Hastings to Woodbury, where you would have changed to the Pier Marquette that would take you to Lansing. If South Haven was your destination, you also had two choices. You could go down to the Michigan Central Depot. They called it a depot and not a station in those days, and it was still the Michigan Central and not the New York Central. A train on the South Haven branch would get you to that city in a couple of hours or so by way of Goebbels, Bloomingdale, and Grand Junction. A slightly more adventurous trip could be had by just taking a streetcar out West Main Street as far as the crossing of the Michigan Central tracks, where you would get off and find yourself at the depot of the Fruit Belt Line. Now, this railroad was in its class by itself. The official name of it was the Kalamazoo, Lakeshore, and Chicago Railroad, but it had many nicknames, of which the Pumpkin Vine was perhaps the most descriptive of its tracks. You could get aboard one of its two-car trains, three a day each way, and reach South Haven by way of Matawan, Lawton, Pawpaw, Lake Cora, Lawrence, Hartford, Tokwin, and Covert. Today, there is not a single passenger train operating on any of those four lines out of Kalamazoo which I have mentioned. The fruit belt from Kalamazoo to Pawpaw has been torn up. It is still operated as a freight line only between Pawpaw and South Haven. The CKNS operates today only within the city of Kalamazoo and out to Richland, and is leased by the New York Central. No passengers are carried. The Grand Trunk Spur from Kalamazoo to Pavilion and the South Haven branch of the Michigan Central, now the New York Central, run only freight trains. Besides these lines into or through Kalamazoo, there was the old Lake Shore line from White Pigeon and Three Rivers through Kalamazoo to Grand Rapids by way of Allegan, which did a lively passenger business back in the old days, but which is now entirely a freight line. Today, only two railroads through Kalamazoo run passenger trains. The New York Central, a direct route from Chicago to Detroit and the East, still schedules 9 or 10 passenger trains per day in each direction. But the Pennsylvania Railroad, originally the GRNI, Grand Rapids and Indiana, runs only one passenger train per day in each direction between Fort Wayne and Grand Rapids through Kalamazoo. But this does not mean that the railroads here do not still mean a lot to Kalamazoo. They are indispensable as freight carriers. And for comfortable, fast, and safe travel to and from remote points, the railroads continue to offer the best means of transportation. It is an interesting fact that the railroads today have reverted in one sense to the function which they performed in the earlier days of their history. In those days, there were only a few mainline railroads. Freight and passengers came by other means to reach the stations on the main lines. 100 years ago, the people of Michigan were building miles of plank roads over which stagecoaches and freight wagons rumbled to feed the rail lines. They came to connect with the Michigan Central at Kalamazoo from Three Rivers to the south and from Grand Rapids to the north, from Allegan, Pawpaw, Hastings, and other towns and cities. Then, following the Civil War, a host of feeder rail lines were built, branches hither and yon throughout the state. Highways were allowed to deteriorate, and the people rode the rails from one country town to another, and they used those branch lines to carry their products to market. Starting in the late 1890s, electric interurban lines were built all over Michigan, and they dealt the branch lines of the steam roads their first blow. And then came the automobile, the truck, and the bus, which killed off the interurbans and took business away from the steam railroads. Many of the short lines and branches were abandoned, lines like the Fruit Belt and the CKNS. Many more ceased to operate passenger trains and became freight carriers only. A railroad map of Michigan today is much simpler than it was 40 years ago. There are fewer zigzag lines. The essential framework of our railroad system is much clearer. Let's take a look at it. In the Lower Peninsula, there are first of all the three lines across the peninsula from east to west, which were projected back in the early days. The old Michigan Southern, now a part of the New York Central system, runs through the southernmost tier of counties. Originally planned to run from Monroe to New Buffalo, its termini are now Toledo and Chicago. It runs through Hillsdale, Coldwater, Sturgis, and Elkhart. But the New York Central has a shorter line between Toledo and Chicago, which runs down through northern Indiana, is double-tracked, and is used as the main line from Chicago to the east. Passenger trains still run on the old line, however. Then through the second tier of counties runs the old Michigan Central line, which also is now a part of the New York Central. Originally planned to run from Detroit to St. Joseph, it was decided after the line was built as far west as Kalamazoo in 1846 to alter the route and run the tracks through Decatur, Dowagiac, and Niles to Chicago. This is a double-track railroad and carries a heavy passenger as well as freight traffic. The third line was planned to run from Detroit westward to the mouth of the Grand River at Grand Haven. It is today owned by the Grand Trunk Western and runs through Owosso and Grand Rapids to Muskegon with a spur to Grand Haven. This also is a passenger as well as a freight line. Now those were our earliest main railroads. The other east-west rail lines across the Lower Peninsula were constructed later, mostly after the Civil War. The most important is the double-tracked main line of the Grand Trunk, which was built originally in many separate segments to connect different cities. A considerable portion of it was known as the Peninsular Railroad. After it was built, it was acquired by the Grand Trunk to connect at Sarnia, across from Port Huron, with the Canadian lines of that company as a through route from Chicago to the east. It runs through Michigan from Port Huron by way of Flint, Lansing, Battle Creek, Vicksburg, and Cassopolis to South Bend and Chicago. A second major east-west line in the later period of construction is the route of the Pier Marquette Streamliners between Grand Rapids and Detroit, now a part of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad system. It was built as a means of connecting Michigan's two largest cities with the state capital, Lansing. As you may know, Lansing did not become the state capital until 1847, and for years afterward it had no railroad. Another east-west line, which is part of the old Pier Marquette system, now the C&O, is the one which runs directly west from Saginaw over to Ludington, squarely bisecting the state. East-west travel and traffic across Michigan to the west has been hampered by the geographic location of Lake Michigan, of course. It was 51 years ago that the first car ferry was put into service between Ludington and Milwaukee. Today, a large volume of freight traffic flows across Michigan and onto the car ferries at Ludington for 3 points in Wisconsin. The Grand Trunk also runs car ferries across the lake from Muskegon to Milwaukee. And a third railroad, the Ann Arbor Line, employs car ferries to transport freight across Lake Michigan from Frankfort to points on the Wisconsin side. This railroad, which was built northwest from Toledo across the state to Frankfort, goes through Ann Arbor, Durand, Owosso, Alma, and Cadillac. Now, perhaps all this is a little confusing, so let's summarize a bit. That makes three original lines plus four later ones, seven in all, that constitute the main framework of the east-west rail system in Michigan. The north-south lines carry in general a much smaller volume of traffic. After the heyday of the logging industry up in northern Michigan, that region fell upon hard times. The tourist trade, which today plays such a big part in the economy of northern Michigan, is not mainly carried by rail. The first line to reach from the southern border to Mackinac City, the whole length of the Lower Peninsula, was the old Grand Rapids and Indiana line, built between 1867 and 1882. Today it is a part of the Pennsylvania system, and of course it runs through Kalamazoo. It was constructed with the help of the federal government. The practice of donating public lands to the railroad companies in order to encourage building into areas where the population was still small started back in the 1850s with a grant to the Illinois Central. The great transcontinental lines, built during the period right after the Civil War, were the recipients of a rich endowment of lands. But many other grants were made. The GR&I for building this line from Fort Wayne northward through Sturgis and Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Reed City, Cadillac, and Petoskey up to the Straits received 850,000 acres of government land, the largest grant to any Lower Peninsula Railroad. The second main north-south line was another segment of the old Pier Marquette Railroad. This railroad, which, as I have said, is now part of the Chesapeake and Ohio, was itself a consolidation of more than 100 separate railroad companies. Before this consolidation was effected, a railroad had been built northward along the lake shore from the state line through Benton Harbor, Hartford, Bangor, Holland, Grand Rapids, Baldwin, and Traverse City up to Petoskey. The third principal north-south line was constructed by the Michigan Central, northward from Jackson, through Saginaw, and on up to the Straits of Mackinac. The Ann Arbor Railroad, which runs northwest from Toledo, may perhaps be classified as a north-south line, although its traffic is more east-west. Aside from this, we have only, in the state, three main north-south lines. Well, now that constitutes the basic railroad framework of the Lord Peninsula. Seven east-west lines and three north-south lines. There are many branches still in existence, some of them very important. Time will not allow us to outline the railroad framework of the Upper Peninsula. But one fact we must mention, and that is that the Upper Peninsula rail system developed almost completely independent from that of the Lower Peninsula. And that, by the way, constitutes a major problem in any effort to bring the two parts of the state closer together. This broadcast, by the way, happens to be rather timely. Today is Michigan Day at Chicago's Great Railroad Fair. It's a little bit too late for you to join in today's celebration, but all of us should certainly pay that fine exhibit a visit before it closes. Next week, we will continue our story of the railroads of Michigan with a little more attention to our Kalamazoo railroads. This is Willis Dunbar now, bidding you all a very pleasant good night.